Imagine a toy so iconic it practically wrote the playbook for pleasure. Allow me to introduce or reintroduce you to the Magic Wand, aka the Cadillac of Vibrators. The Magic Wand Original is a trusted companion in the journey of joy. Whether it's your first time chasing an orgasm or you're looking to give your partner a spine-tingling erotic massage, the Magic Wand should be your go-to. With powerful rumbles and several different rhythms and patterns, it's no wonder the Magic Wand has scooped up accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I'm so enamored with mine, I've customized my bedside table just to keep it within arm's reach at all times. But the magic doesn't stop with the original Magic Wand. The Magic Wand family has grown over the years, offering a variety of models to suit every lifestyle. Go cord-free with the Magic Wand Rechargeable. Embrace compact power without compromising intensity with the Magic Wand Mini. I love this Mini. Or the Micro, which is just teeny tiny and really powerful. Or enjoy a range of sensations with the Magic Wand Plus. Each model delivers the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original a legend. So are you ready to experience the magic? Visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to enchant pleasure seekers around the globe. That's sexwithemily.com/magicwand. Magic Wand, more than just a vibrator. Did you know that your gut is directly connected to your brain and can contribute to anxiety, stress, and depression, which, by the way, can also impact your sexual health? So here's my secret weapon for gut health, Just Thrive Probiotic. Now listen up. Just Thrive isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is the only one that survives your stomach acid and reaches your gut 100% alive. All those others, the ones that come in fancy drinks or you gotta refrigerate, nope, that's not even a thing. This is the one. I've noticed significant changes to my overall health. Like, this might be TMI, but I'm way more regular and my skin is glowing. Think of Just Thrive like your personal gut gardener. It maintains the health of your gut by weeding out the bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and then replenishes the good, making it a total game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, even your mood and sexual health. And if you want to check out my episode with Just Thrive's founder, Tina Anderson, we talk all about how gut bacteria plays a crucial role in your overall happiness, including your sex life. Because a healthy, balanced gut means less stress and more energy. So if you want to check it out, I'm offering a deal for my listeners. You can save 20% off site-wide at justthrivehealth.com with the promo code SEXWITHEMILY. That's 20% off on the probiotic that's truly changing lives and making waves in the wellness community. Everyone's talking about it. Don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Go to justthrivehealth.com. Use promo code SEXWITHEMILY for 20% off. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, I go on a journey with comedian, podcaster, and actor Jay Moore. And we go deep. I mean, not to worry, we do talk about anal, but we also talk about dealing with anxiety. How do you know when it's time to leave a relationship? Moving through divorce. How do you know when you've done enough? Because you've often heard me say, if you're in a trouble spot in your relationship, that's not time to have an affair, bury your emotions, or just tune everything out. It's actually time to do the real work. Leave no stone unturned so you know if you decide to leave, you've done everything. And we also talk sex, like if he really lasts longer than 16 seconds in bed, thoughts about pegging, and why he likes to sometimes be called daddy. All this and more. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's
got
to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com. Check out our website, our blogs, our posts, and also subscribe and comment on iTunes, which I so appreciate it, and it really helps the show. And I'm going to read a really nice review we got on iTunes. This is from Vicious Toss. When I say awesome, I mean in the way she speaks intelligently and articulately on so many important subject matters, including relationships, friendships, marriages, sex, porn, feminism, masculinity, and many others. In every podcast that I have listened to so far, I felt that Emily, her staff, and guests genuinely and patiently help others without judgment or ridicule. Thank you for that comment, and it That just feels good. It's true, you guys. This is a judgment-free zone. We are here for you to help you work through all your relationship issues, sex issues. So thank you, Vicious Toss. And if you guys leave a comment, we will read it. I appreciate it. We're going to pick one every week. So thanks for that. And we have a March contest, which is super exciting. We call this one the O's of March. And by what I mean by that is those O moments or the aha moment when you finally figured out something in your life that you've kind of been noodling on. You're like, ah, that's the reason. Well, think about what your sex and dating life. There must be some of those where you've had an aha moment. Like maybe you figured out, oh, this is my secret fantasy that I've really been wanting to express. Or this is a secret erogenous zone on the back of my knee I never knew existed. Or you actually tried a toy with your partner and you thought, oh, wow, sex toys for couples, that really works. I mean, whatever it is that has that moment when something happened and it changed and you saw your sex life or your relationship in a whole different way. I want to hear from you. I want to hear your oh moment. Send in yours to feedback@sexwithemily.com by April 10th. And we're going to pick four of you to win a super sexy prize that will definitely have you going, oh. And also, please join me on social media. It's at Sex with Emily on Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, and Twitter. And I'm always posting behind the scenes. I'm posting new episodes come up and also just a lot of information and blogs and posts and linking to all these things that will inspire you and help you to have the relationship and sex life that you dream of. We've got some sex hack videos coming soon. I love a good sex hack. And so we did a few videos that are going to be posted right now. By the time you hear this, we're going to have some up. So they're just little tips, little things that you can do that will make a huge difference in your sex life. Let me know what you think of those. I just love hearing what you guys think of the shows, the videos, whatever we're posting. It's so helpful to get your feedback because I love you all. So thanks for listening and enjoy my interview with Jay Moore. This is really good spray. In your mouth, even though it's blowjob spray, meaning it lubricates your mouth when you want to talk. Not that you need it, but so you're not like, it's good. So I mean, doesn't mean you're gay using blowjob spray. It just means that it tastes really good and it lubricates your mouth.
I think it makes you more straight. I'm on the other side of the fence.
Cool.
Once you get pegged, you go, oh, that's the straightest shit I've ever done in my life.
What?
You heard me.
How is it so straight?
Because you have to be that comfortable to let somebody peg you.
That's true. I love that we're already recording about your pegging experience, Jay Moore. This is what I love. So I've been doing the show for like 13 years and people are like, oh, what's the trends? What's changed? And mostly that anal, top of mind, always. But even more so, I feel like people really want to try anal. But the pegging thing was something I've been talking to guys about. I'm like, you're straight, you know, but it doesn't make you gay if you want to, you know, have some penetration there because it's like the male G-spot. What if it's the best orgasm ever and you don't know it? So you did it.
Yeah, somebody pegged me and it was...
Somebody you knew?
It was the manliest thing I had ever done.
How so?
Because it was just... She was so turned on by it. It feels amazing because you have a prostate. It's like the closest thing we have to a clitoris.
Right. G-spot.
And there's, you know, like boobs and a beautiful woman there. It's not like you're bent over a couch in
right,
jail.
Right, exactly. It's not like the doctor either putting like
some enormous like human guy named Jennifer just laying it in. Like, no, it's like somebody you love just like doing that. It was a small sized thing, you know, baby
Start small.
Steps.
Yeah.
And then that was the one time and I was just like, this is amazing.
Yeah. And never again. You weren't like, let's start it. We could give you, we have a closet.
I would do it. If any like girlfriend, it was like, if it's important to her or whatever, like, sure.
So most of
but
it
what
was that
you said anal change, like how I think
it's only changed because I think if people have always had curiosity about anal, but I think because of porn, like because it's everywhere now that kids are just everyone who's having sex at a young age are like, oh, well, we should also have anal. Like it's part of it. And it's just some people have anal because they think they're not really going to lose their virginity. And
me and Adam Carolla are like the only two guys that are like, you know, not really. And because it's dominance. When you do it, when you're lovemaking and you can do it, like when you can use just like spit.
Right.
Like when it's that gentle of a thing and it's like an actual beautiful thing. It's
right.
Other level, ethereal, great.
Right.
Greatness. But it's just, I feel like everybody does it to eventually go from yeah to yeah.
Right. Because it's like a kind of a taboo thing.
But it's like it's dominant. It's too dominant, and I don't want to behave that way.
Right, unless you're both really into it, and she's like, no, it's not dominant. It feels really good to me. And it can be connected.
I don't need an asshole to be that dominant with somebody. Like I don't know why guys have to tie girls to beds. Like
because they want it.
Well, yeah, but just my voice, you're not going to go anywhere. Like if you need ropes to like get that like.
Yeah, but the ropes are just like an added sort of like accoutrement, like the things that you add to your, you know, like
no, hey, I know. Tie me up to, but I mean, I can't move. When you're not that's tied awesome. Up and you can't move, that's
hot too. That's I think women that's... want restraint. We want to be cherished. We want to be ravished. We want you to take control. Many women. So
yeah,
you get it. But go back to the lube thing. I just need to make a correction here. When you said it's great if you don't use lube and you just
I never in. Said those words.
What'd you said? You said without I lube. Said, it's so
I never said without lube. I said when you're using spit.
Spit. Sorry. Yeah. Spit is a chip. Spit's not great to use instead of lube. I'm just saying technically. Lube's amazing.
I didn't say. Did I ever say instead of lube? No. You projected all that on me. Entirely present.
I have like a lube. I know. I love that about you. You are so present.
I mentioned lube never.
Because you use spit, which is like the... You know, which is not great to use during sex. There's a lot Why? Of bacteria because there's a lot of bacteria in spit.
You're putting something in somebody's asshole. Like it spits right, the but problem. But what
did you just have? Like,
that's not
did
the
you just
partner.
Have like pizza for dinner or something? And it's like still or like meat and it's in your spit and saliva.
You really want an answer?
Yeah.
I've probably been eating ass for about 20 minutes.
Yeah. Well, you know, but before that, really prior sloppy. To that, yeah, it's sloppy. I'm just saying that.
But
lube
before all
anal,
that ass eating, what did you eat that had germs on it?
Lube and anal, like the problem is when people just they go in too quickly, and then the saliva doesn't last long. So with anal, not that you care because you're not on that path right now.
Yeah, I was
use
talking
a lot
about
of lube.
The gentility and the
no, I get it. No, it's gentle that it's just saliva. I get that, and I just took it to like, oh, don't use spit.
Yeah,
just to make the correction.
My plumbing doesn't work well enough to be jamming anything anywhere. Okay, I'm pushing a rope uphill.
Got it. Okay. Jay Moore, this is so fun. I'm so glad you're here. I'm really excited. You all know Jay Moore, I believe. Comedian, actor, podcast host. Love your podcast, More Stories.
Oh, thank you.
So good. Yeah, all the stuff that you've done. And I'm excited to get to know you today because I've been following your journey. Especially like the last year, listening to a lot of different interviews you've done. And I know that it's been kind of a challenging year for you. And I've been so impressed and kind of inspired and touched by how open you've been about what you're going through. And I was like, oh, it was just, I don't know, just like your vulnerability and just being present and honest. Even in last year, I know life is never easy. We're always going through things, but that you've gone through a rough marriage, challenging relationship.
It was the most difficult 18 months of my life.
Right now, we're in the 18th month?
Oh, no, we're out of the 18th month, but it's kind of like Vietnam in 74, 75. Like, you're still
right.
Still dodging a few incoming here and there, but yeah, I got divorced, and I, you know, I didn't want to get divorced, but it takes two to make a thing go right. Yeah. It takes two.
It does take two.
And you can dance as fast as you want to dance, but... You know, it wouldn't be fair to speak for two people, but I went insane. Like I was going to get a bed in a mental hospital twice. And
before you decided to get divorced or
no, during the I filed right. twice. Yeah, it's.
I just, yeah.
I'm being careful not to speak because I love
well,
her
here's
very
my,
much.
Right. No, I know.
The opposite of love isn't hate. It's indifference. I'm nowhere near indifference.
No, I get it. It's been a challenge. You still love her. It's been a heartbreak. But the thing that I thought was interesting and like for a lot of my listeners, I feel like there's so much because I always say, you know, people call up and they're like, oh, you know, we answer people's emails or they call into the show and they're like, oh, I'm thinking of having an affair. Things haven't been great. Or, you know, we're not going to go to therapy. It's just, we're going to live through this suffering. And it's like, no, you have to, first of all, don't have an affair. Whatever energy you're putting towards the other person, turn towards your relationship and work on it and see if you guys can repair. Because then you can leave the relationship knowing that you've done everything. And I think a lot of people just leave and they don't do it. And what I love, what I've heard you say is that like, leave no stone unturned, because then when you leave a relationship, you know you've done everything. And that's something that I often impart.
I'm out of stones.
You're out of stones. You turned them all over, though.
I ground them to dust in my hands from turning them over. And like, as far as cheating goes, you nailed it. Like, you can never, it's not like a felony you work down to a misdemeanor and no, you get it off. You don't get to work release that off your,
right.
Once you cheat, it's on there forever.
You're a cheater.
That's it.
Right. You can't go back.
You die a cheater. You cheat on your wife. Like, that's the one thing you're going to go, why? I was so ephemeral and strange.
Right.
And yeah, second part of that was.
Yeah. Like what I want to know is like I always say, go to therapy. I know you're a huge mental health advocate, as am I. I mean, I feel like sometimes I'm on repeat. I'm like, you guys really need therapy. And I don't even think that people totally get that. But so I know that you probably went through therapy with her. Can you talk about
No, we didn't go. I wound up going to a psychiatrist I still see by myself because it was, well, one of us has to see somebody about something.
Right. And was she just not...
I'm not going to...
You don't have to get into it. All I'm saying is what I feel like what you've gone through is what I hear from a lot of couples, that one wants therapy, one doesn't. One's working, one's not. And I feel like... I'm not saying she wasn't. All I'm saying is I'd like to hear about the Stones. And I didn't say the thing about Lab. Can you tell me... I just feel like that process of working it through. Like, how did you know that the Stones... Like, what kind of... What kind of work did you do?
It's very long. It's not like you wake up one day and go, whoa, what happened this morning? You know, it's not, there's not fights. There was never fights. It's a very slow sort of undertow. And then you get gaslit away where you're not sure what reality is anymore. And that's what kind of made me cuckoo. You know, in any relationship, someone will tell you what you're... The number one thing I've seen in relationships and being an intuitive and working with people that ask me to work with them mm-hmm. as for hire.
As an intuitive.
Yeah. It's, I know you hate when we talk about this. And the other person goes, I don't hate this at all. So now you're untangling a necklace before you put it on.
Right.
And then you talk about the last time you had to untangle that necklace when it comes up again. You wind up only talking about when you had to untangle the necklace
right.
the other time, and you never get to wear it. And I see that when I date now. It's a defense mechanism. It's projection. It's really odd. Like, just people tell you things about yourself that are inherently untrue. You'll say, no, the last time we spoke, I actually said, I love talking about this, and thank you. Well, I know you hate it. It's just like they don't...
No one hears. No one communicates.
Nobody listens.
Nobody listens. It's true. Nobody
fear, can. Fear. Mm-hmm. Fear of success. More. It used to be fear of failure our whole lives. And now everybody is fear. They fear success. Because when you're successful, the spotlight's on you. And now do it again. Now I really see you.
Well, that, right.
If and you're a failure, who cares?
Right.
But if Pete Townsend once said, I wrote a record. I love to write songs. I wrote a song. They said, that was great. Could you write another song? And I went, this is the greatest job in the world.
Right.
And that's... He didn't have a fear of success. Like, right. Success to him was fulfilling his passion. I love to do comedy. I love to act. I love to create. I like to separate people from concern.
Do you ever have that fear, though, that you weren't going to be able to hit it again after certain movies or things that you've done? You never had that. You were not riddled with that.
This is going to sound maybe really like I'm a dick, but I don't remember fear. I remember a shot. I got a gamma globulin shot when I was like 11. And it scared me so bad for some reason. And I don't really remember fear ever. Like, both my sons were in the NICU, and I don't know.
You just don't have it.
Angst, worry, doubt, fear. It's like the forest will provide. I don't know. Maybe I was just born a Buddhist. I don't know what it was.
No, that's. I mean, so you really don't. You don't have that like angst around your work and creating them.
None.
You just always, it just comes out. Like, I think it's amazing.
I don't try. I've never given 100%. I'm 47 years old. I maybe 88% is as high as I've ever gone. It's come easy to me. It's like going through AA. I went back to AA March 14th.
Right. I know.
I didn't drink. Like, that's how sick I was with anger, sadness, resentment from this crumbling life of marriage, that I needed to apply some type of program and get with it. Because I never worked steps. I never got a sponsor. And May 5th, 1998 was my sobriety date. I didn't drink or drug. And I was getting fired from jobs because they thought I was on drugs.
Right.
So, but in two different walks of life, like one was like a Boys and Girls Club corporate gig where I wore a tuxedo. And I was like, that was the one I was sure. Like, I saved the night. It was great. Right. They're like, is he on something? I went, oh, that with the other place. Right. Apparently, I'm behaving in a way.
Okay, so first of all, to explain this, because I find this fascinating. I know I have a lot of, I'm very close to AA. I'm not in an AA, but I've had a lot of friends, close friends that have gone through it. And I've seen just miraculous changes in their lives. Like friends I had for 20 years and they both got sober, two of my friends at the same time. And to watch going through the steps and how they were just like different people after a year, I know how powerful the program is. And also saying that, like, so you got sober like 20 years ago, sober meaning you didn't drink, but you're like white knuckling it, or
I was dry drunk. Yeah.
So I find that you just, so people were saying to you, hey, are you on drugs a year ago about, right? Cause today, so it's
2 years. 2 years ago, 3 years.
Congratulations, you know, on a year.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Today. It are you going to go get a chip?
I may not, because my son's more important than the chip.
Do you bring him to a meeting?
Do
you ever bring him to a meeting? I know your mom brought you to meetings.
He's 6. Oh, you're right, though, because my mom brought me when I was 8. Not yet. There's one on Tuesdays I might bring him to. Okay. Because it's kind of true. My 15-year-old I'll bring, certainly.
I think it's powerful. I used to go with my friends. I was like, I love this. I wish. And even when I started doing Loveline, like with Drew, I was like, I really want to do the 4-step. Like, I think that's really important to me, or the 5th step. I'm not an addict, but I'm like, what could I literally went to a therapist like 5 years ago. I'm like, I want to work the steps, the program. I think it's I've been in therapy my whole life.
That seems amazing. People are like the Fearless Moral Inventory. That's the thing that everybody's so terrified of. I'm like,
that's no, fourth, right? Or is that 5th?
I can't wait to be a detective on me, because whatever I think of me is clouded by somebody else's, like the perception of me by me was so clouded by living in a house, in a home, and driving in a car and laying in a bed with somebody that tells you things about yourself until you believe it. It's being gaslit,
right,
really.
Right, right. And over to keep hearing that.
And then when I realized my defects of character, I was like, an insatiable need for validation. Irrational. I get applause for going to work. Mm-hmm. I go to work and people applaud because I walked in.
Right.
That's so how... Then I'm in a hotel room, like, what's going on? Where is everybody? Like, right. No, you just left everybody.
Right. But it's kind of like, so talk about, I mean, when you go on stage, you perform, and you've always, I mean, I feel like you've had a lot of success. Everything you've done, your stand up. When I told everyone you're on the show, they were like, oh my God, I love him. I saw a stand up. He's amazing. Or they just, you know, you're beloved. So, but you go on stage, you get that, you know, affirmation, or you get the, what'd you say? The approval, the
validation.
And then you leave. And then it's kind of like this, like if that's the thing about performing, is that you're so on, you're so present, you get it. And then you go back to the room and then.
It's not a loneliness. I think you're nibbling around the edge.
I'm not saying no lonely. I'm just saying it's almost a crash, because you're getting this like dopamine rush or adrenaline. And then you, do you feel like you.
I think I'm the outlier, because I don't get the big rush. It's kind of like you don't celebrate when your car doesn't have a flat tire. And that's how I feel on stage. And I could take a nap like right before I go on stage. That's when I'm the most just like, all right, cool.
You don't have anxiety. So you don't have anything around that.
I'm a thoroughbred runs around a track. You put them in the stall. Just you want to give them an idea how long the track is. That's it. How long am I doing? That's all I need to know.
Apollo. And your material is so, it's about what's happening in your life. It's true. It's real. It's your stories. Yeah.
And that I think alleviated all any remaining angst. Any remaining, highs and lows was, I realized like about four years ago, every single thing I'll write already happened to me or is going to happen to me. So to sit down, the construct of actually writing a joke is not truthful. Like, hey, what's with who gives a shit? That's not who you are. That's something you sat and manufactured, which is false.
Right.
My son saying, my 6-year-old says yes, like an old queen for some reason.
Right.
He's like this big butch dude. Like he looks at the house. He's like forearms like Lenny Dykstra. I'm like, did you do it? He goes, mm-hmm. I go, did you really? Yes.
Did he do what? Anything you're asking?
Just whatever I ask him, the word yes just comes out. And then I can't hear contractions like did, didn't, right. Can, can't. So he can't use contractions. So he's the poor guy, 6. He weighs 77 pounds. He's tall. He's a big kid. He's got lats. Like he likes to lift weights.
Wow.
At 6. His favorite outfit is blue jeans, nothing else. Like a Russian landlord that hoses the driveway and not the lawn.
How old is he?
He's 6.
Wow. Okay.
And so he can't use contractions. So he walks around all day like an effeminate czar. Like, I cannot. I did not. Will. Yes. Have them washed and sent to my tent, Father.
Why can't he use contractions?
Because I can't hear them. I don't know. If he says I did or didn't, I can't hear the difference in contractions.
In him or in life? It's like a block.
In life.
Okay.
It's not a block. It's
no, like a thing. It's like a, I can't wink. I can't whistle.
You can't wink?
No. Or whistle. I don't know if they're related.
Whistle regular or whistle loud? Like
anything.
A coach?
I can't even do it.
Would you rather, Michael, would you rather be able to dunk or whistle loud like a coach with no hands?
Dunk.
All right. You'll change that answer, I promise. be able to just in traffic just go, psh, like, we're allowed, like some cool dad. So for two people celebrating presents, I think we both just went.
Mm-hmm. I know there's so many
Lombard
things.
Street. Right.
Oh my God, San Francisco, that's my heart. I used to live there.
I went
on the street.
We're little cable cars, climb halfway mm-hmm. to the stars.
Mm-hmm. So you're working the steps was great.
And that helped me a lot. And now it's like if I have a bad day, I know why. And the biggest thing for me, I was talking to my sponsor a while ago, and I go, the big book keeps talking about willingness. Like, I have so much willingness. I just don't apply it. I'm 100% willing. And he's like a biker cowboy. So all biker cowboys seem to have like bad hips. So he's kind of like shuffling it. I go, I'm 100% willing. He goes, not really. And I just started laughing because he's right. If you're 100% willing, you would do more
exactly.
things,
like you don't
the morning
say-
meditation.
Right. How's that going? Are you doing it?
I've never had a bad day when I do it.
It's like, true, just, right?
Here's what I got to do today. I'm going to hand it over. I'm not the director of this show. I got to accomplish these. I can't be human reliant.
Right.
Do it myself. Depend on no one. If I'm late, I'm a liar. If I'm rushing, it's a symptom of my sickness.
So when you went back about a year ago, you said, oh, no, wait, I remember what I wanted to get back to. When
anal.
You were talking about
anal. And
all roads lead to anal.
Do they?
No, but they do in sex. Like literally, like if people just call me, I'm like, let me guess, anal question. There's just a lot of them. But when you're talking about writing the jokes, are you saying that you don't? We'll get back to anal. Is always fun. When you, we're gonna name it Anal with Jay Moore. Is that cool? The show? Because mm-hmm. you said you like the titles, or maybe we'd let you name it.
No, I think I don't know if you'll top that.
Anal with Jay Moore.
It's like naming a band. Would you hit like Soundgarden? You're pretty good. You're Radiohead, Metallica. Like, no, that's the name. We're good.
Yeah, right. This is a good one. Anal.
But Boston? Really? We're just going to be Boston?
Okay, so listen, joke writing. So you're saying that all these things happen to you in your life, stories, whatever, but if you don't actually write your jokes before you go up because you're just, then it doesn't feel real to you? Or are you saying...
No, I don't write jokes.
Not jokes, but you write like funny story with kid, the backpack.
Bullet point it to remind myself... but it's a problem. I've probably forgotten about 2 hours of material. And then when I talk to other comics, they'll say things like, how come you don't do that thing about bringing a dog to the vet? I'm like, oh my God, that was so, I just forget it.
But do you have them written down anywhere or archived?
No, I need to. And it's a problem. And I won't because this is LA. And when people go like, I'm writing this, I need to write a book. Like, well, you're not going to, cause you're talking about it.
It's so
and
true.
Then other
just
people
write
just, you know, don't tell me about the labor. Show me the baby.
Right. No, you're so right. You're
like
so
the
right.
Poems. I never told anybody. I just went,
when did the poems start? Those are
about a year ago. It was cathartic.
So Jay walked in and he played us his poem on your Periscope through Twitter. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
What at
JayMoore37.
JayMoore37. And it was
my website, JayMoore.com. There's one's post. A blog
it was
post
really, I mean, like, you're so good. Like, it's just, has that always been something that's coming out of you? Poems?
Yeah, I think.
Healing, cathartic.
You know, I remember like when I was 20, I'd be on a plane going to do stand up and I would hear a lyric and I would actually write the lyric and I would just write that one lyric over and over and over. I remember like Born to Run, Together Wendy, We Can Live with the Sadness. I love you with all the madness in my soul. And I was going cross country thinking, he wrote 6 albums after this. Like, just, you're done. Like, no, he wasn't done. That's before Born in the USA, you know?
Never done.
I would always just, like, I was flying back from Salt Lake City. I was listening to The National. It was slow. I waited 28 years to meet you. And I just went, oh my God. But he's not 28. You know, right. Matt's not, he's older than I am, I think. I was just like, just fascinated. Then I called him and asked him about it. And he actually gave me a really great backstory on it, but which I won't share because it's his business. So yeah, I've always sort of
came up with things, but I never really
had the structure. I sent a bunch of poems to my dad, who was an English major at Rutgers University, and he loves poetry. And it was one that I was like really proud of.
Right.
And he emailed me back, pretty good, but your meter is off. And I went, all right. It's like, so my dad,
who loves
me entirely.
Of course. But he's like, here's a dig or here's what's wrong.
And he's right. And there's no, like the poem, Your Sound, there's no meter. Like, so then I just sent him one called 6 about my son because every line was 6 syllables. So I look like a crazy person on the airplanes on my fingers just going.
But does that really matter?
puffy eyes, purple orchids, ruby red, crooked lips, da, 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 da. And I'm like, the person next to me probably just thinks I'm a special boy.
But are you supposed to, is there like rules to poem? I mean, I get the meters, but you can just do your own, but that's your dad saying like, hey, if you're really going to do a good thing, because that's how they.
It's a good thing to do, you know, but I've noticed nobody notices. When I go, each line is 8 syllables. They go, oh, I didn't even know that. I read it like 3 times. And then I feel like, I feel like a jerk for pointing it out. I hate when they rhyme.
But you were just saying, like, why wasn't he just done? He wrote this song. But do you never feel like you're done, right? Are you never going to be done with comedy? Is that what you're most passionate about, your podcast?
Or no, what? I was born a comic. Like, I can't not do comedy. I mean, I've done shows for friends, and they've said, well, there's only 6 people here, so you don't have to come. It's like, no, I agreed to do a show. It wasn't person-dependent.
Right.
Like, I've done open mics where it's just other comics, like now. And then you're the elephant in the room. So then there's some shows I love doing. There's always something new. Buddy Hackett once told me, you're never done peeling the onion. If you stop peeling the onion, that's when you cry. You just got to keep going. You got to keep going. You got to peel the onion. Nothing's ever done. And that's all like Zen Buddhist stuff.
Yeah, it's true though. Like it's like in life, like your spiritual journey. Like I feel like you're never freaking done. So that's what I was trying to.
That's why atheists make me kooky. It's just like, wait, you know this for fact. Right. Like you're certain.
No, nothing.
So
certain.
There's a couple shows like a set list show I love, and I'll explain both briefly.
Okay.
And there's another one called Don't Tell Stand Up, which is amazing because they don't tell the audience.
Their shows, their podcast, what?
Their actual live stand-up comedy shows. Don't Tell Stand-Up is Sean and Anna. There are a couple. They do them, and they let they let me know at like 2 in the afternoon. It's in the garden at Venice High School at 10 p.m. And the audience finds out at the same time
I
do. So
it's like a flash mob comedy show.
Yeah, there's no mic. There's like people on blank. So my thing about comedy, when I went to that show, Sean said to me, her brother thinks you're the greatest comedian of all time. And I looked at him to say, a year ago, I would have said, what about you? But I didn't say anything, but that's what I was thinking. But somehow he vibed it out. He goes, you're the truest. And I went, I'll take it.
Right.
And I love that show. I did one in a furniture store, downtown furniture store. And it's the construct of the show is the truest. Like there's no advertising. There's no waitresses. There's no ice machine. There's no blender. There's no drinks. I mean, I was in the back of a furniture store with like pit bulls barking on the other
this
side of a
recently?
Wall. No, I mean this year. Yeah.
Over the year. Right.
They've done them in jewelry stores, skate parks. Like they just, it's the construct of the show is so honest that you die. If you put on a show, you're dead. You can't go, hey, how's everybody doing? And like, bye-bye, asshole, you're out.
So you're the realist, felt like, and you could take that in. So when you were saying a year ago,
I believed him.
You believed that's
the
thing.
And I knew it to be the truth, that I am the actual truest.
Yeah, you are.
Because I don't do any jokes. I like, this happened to me. So if somebody doesn't laugh, if an audience doesn't laugh, I just shared a story with them. I move on to the next story. And people will ask me appropriately, like, how often do you try out material? And I go, I don't. And they go, how do you not try out material? But like, Emily, if you had a story at a party, I go, mm-hmm. Oh, tell Lark what happened this morning.
Right.
You would tell her, you wouldn't be like, you know what? Let me go to Rite Aid and try it out first.
No, that's true.
Let me go down to the liquor store and tell it over there first. The 2 places you like to go.
I love the Rite Aid and the McDonald's across the street. It's true.
Liquor store.
No, but you're right. The liquor store is awesome. But it's true that, so.
Just for the now and later.
The truest thing, though, saying that you're the truest, is that I just think that you're so brave because you get up, you're a comedian, you do your comedy, but then you're also like, you were talking about your mom with Alzheimer's and you're like, I know, this is really what I've been going through. How am I going to make this funny? And you just did your whole thing and you're like, oh, by the way, I've been with my mom going through Alzheimer's, and people were like, you're like, it wasn't necessarily funny, but then you're like, that's my life.
I mean,
and everyone
clapped.
You're standing.
Why
is that an error?
I'll tell you.
Okay.
Because
I thought it was brave and true.
Thank you. It's tough to be brave without being a coward. So I'll temper that compliment.
Well, there's
but
a
I
duality
accept it.
Of everything, but okay.
There's one story I tell about renting a kayak with my son, and I put it on the 6-year-old because he's, I guess, more frequent.
Right.
Not, you know, he's 6. He's every day. I gotta, you know. And it just wasn't like when you take a golf cart downhill. It's like, oh, it doesn't really go that fast. It stops. It like there's a governor on the engine.
Right.
And I felt that way in the room. So I opened my book. No Wonder My Parents Drank, and I found that by chance. And I found the kayak story. I go, that didn't happen to Meredith. That happened to Jackson. So I go, oh, I have a show tonight. I can't wait to tell the kayak story with the appropriate kid.
Right.
And then my mom visited, and we didn't know she had Alzheimer's. And she came to my house and just kept saying, whose car is in the driveway? Is that my car? Is there an upstairs to this building? And I stayed awake for 72 hours with my mom. I never left her eyes. Mm. I knew like her tells. I knew when she slipped. I had like, I set up like little memory cards, like only like three of them. Okay. So like something we could monitor as it went on. And I told my wife, I go, the kayak story didn't happen to Meredith. It happened to Jackson. And my mom's Alzheimer's, I had to read her Harold and the Purple Crayon tonight. I've always wanted a daughter, but I didn't think it was going to be my mom. Mm. And then she goes, how are you going to make that funny? And I went, see you later.
Right.
Like, I don't know.
Right.
Like,
I'm just going to tell it. Right. But then it ended up like, and you feel like you were real in that moment. Everyone got up, you got like the standing ovation.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. And the error was, that's what I wanted to do. And the thing, when I do the improv in Hollywood, they give me the 8 o'clock show. So it's 8 to 10 is me. So I do an hour and a half, which I like to do an hour and a half.
When are you doing that again soon? You'll tell us.
I can look it up on my phone. And then it got to be about like 8 minutes left and they're blinking the light because they have to load in a second show. And I hadn't even done the thing about my mom. So I had to truncate it and just smush it in like the back 3 or 4 minutes. And I'm like, oh, there's like nothing really to call back. There's this, I'm just going, this awful, sad thing happened tonight. And I went, so thinking back 90 minutes ago, I go, when I tell you guys 90 minutes ago, I'm really glad to see you guys. I mean it. And then in that moment before they did anything, I went, oh my God, sincerity trumps comedy every time. And they were like, yeah, they all stood up. And it was a parlor trick on my part because I fucked up. I didn't stagger it.
You didn't have the joke. You're like, I just want to get this in. But did you feel like you had to get it in because you promised that you would? Talk about beforehand.
I had to get it. I jump off the cliff. I build my wings as I'm going down.
That's what you say,
yeah. But the wing, I didn't form any wings. So I'm like, I'm going to break my legs just so you guys know. Like, transparency is transparency.
Right. And vulnerability.
I can't go on stage. And it was a complete, like, ripcord parachute of, I have to land this somehow. And I wouldn't, that's not a comedy show. That's not what I go on stage to do. But it was just my like last second, and I am really glad to see you guys. Right. Whew. Otherwise, I would have had to go. By the way, Christopher Walken said, you know,
right. So, but it worked for you being real and all.
It totally worked. It was just you're the only person that knows it was a failed the result of a failed construct. Like Stephen Hawking,
right? I know
about space,
right? And how sad that he just died.
Good, he cheated on his wife. Bye bye.
He did.
Yeah.
That's what he said? Right.
Twice.
Right. Okay, wait.
The guy talks by moving his irises into a machine. A nurse wipes his ass and he goes, thank you. Suck it. LOL or not. Like how he got ass.
Everyone gets confidence, I guess. Success, power.
Stephen Hawking. Like,
I don't know. I know, dude.
Everybody.
If anyone, everyone's going to feel worse now listening. Like, I haven't gotten a blowjob in years. And
well, you just
got to
grow a pair and say, whoa.
Hope you're enjoying my talk with Jay Moore. Right now, we're going to give a quick shout out to our sponsors. Thanks for supporting them, and I'll be right back. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread, so here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co.
My old trick back in the day was when somebody didn't want to fool around anymore, I would go, well, what are we going to do about this? About this?
Back when like blue balls? Oh, God.
No, the actual erection.
Right. Oh, the erection.
The
like sight, we were going to.
The sight of it was the thing. I was like in my early 20s.
Right, I get it. That's about hopefully when it stopped.
That's and erections as well. Yes.
Right. Usually so well. It lasts about the 40s.
Yeah, I'm 47. It's a problem.
Yeah, I know. It's a whole thing. We can talk about that too. Sure. How is your sex? Well, no, it was funny because I was. So I was listening. I was like really like into your world, like listening to the Truth Barrel one with your podcast and Jordan, listening to a bunch of stuff. And then I pulled up your stand up from, I think it was 3 years ago on Amazon Prime, like Happy.
Happy and a Lot. That was a good special.
Yeah, it was good. And you open with like, I'm really bad in bed. I lasted for a whole
16 seconds.
Well,
but
yeah,
but in a row.
Killed the joke. Right. In a row.
No, you didn't kill it. You had it.
I did. Right. So what do you think about your...
And 10 seconds in, I'm looking at the orange Gatorade on the nightstand going, oh, not yet. Finish on. You're a wrestler, JJ. Come on.
Do you really think you're bad in bed?
No.
No.
No. That was like...
That was a joke, so that wasn't real.
My wife was pretty happy. Fucking hot. You know, longevity wasn't a luxury.
The sex wasn't the problem.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Until it was the problem.
Right. Until it is the problem.
Because of other things.
Well, exactly.
The sex was never the problem. It's the things leading up to the, you know, when you're married, the first thing you say when you have sex is, all right, let me pee first. Everybody goes to another room and pees.
But when they don't want to have sex?
No, when you want to have sex, let me go pee first. When you're single, you never once go like, let me go pee. Like you just
have sex.
You'll stop mid pee and just turn around and do it.
That's true.
That's
the fun part, the newness, the excitement of a new relationship, because you're like, you're not peeing, your makeup's still on, you're doing all this stuff.
Chris Rock said, if it ain't new, it's through. So, bad in bed, no.
Did the sex, okay, I don't mean you're bad in bed, okay, but did your sex life, I don't know if you want to talk about this, but
no, that was an actual joke. That one was an actual joke.
Oh, there you go, there's
and
one joke.
And then I had erectile dysfunction towards the tail end of the marriage.
Which is mostly emotional.
Totally emotional. Like entirely emotional and still emotional. And then value, feelings of worth. We were talking off mic about daddy stuff. Mm-hmm. But me and Michael were, not you.
No, I want to talk to you about the daddy stuff because you
so
said.
So then when I realized I was not going to necessarily brick up lovely, yo, get like these nice, great mammoth erections that I could be proud of and bounce water off of it. Then you become like a chess master and it's all between the ears. And what you don't realize is as you're like, well, they won't even notice. They're not. No, they are noticing. They are getting it because you're hitting a bell that no one has ever tried to hit before. And that's patience, presence.
Mm-hmm. Focusing on the moment, not getting
entirely there. And then
it comes back.
Then I go home and I masturbate to what just almost happened.
Wait, you're saying that's happening to you now dating?
I'm sick.
No, we're all sick. And I feel like you're...
I said that as
a joke. What I'm saying is, are you dating? So you're saying this happened. Are you dating now?
Yeah, I try to.
Okay. That's good.
It's one strike, you're out rule, I think.
And what do you mean?
I just know when something...
Do you know right away if...
Yeah, that like that projection of a negative emotion, you go, just so you know, this is what just happened. And
like, give me an example. When you're on a... dating someone new and
well, I know you don't like it and I know like you get really angry when we it's like no wait oh, I, like no I don't
that's their own stories most people are bringing their own perceptions right
and it's just then you're talking about something that doesn't a negative that doesn't exist is the conversation before you get back to the conversation
right
and it's exhausting and
it is exhausting.
I'm all out of Fox. I can't anymore. I did it too long,
right?
And I lived it, and it's just when I identify it right away. It's mostly that. And I dated a girl and she goes, I just wish I had more time with you. And I was like, you do. I don't see my friends.
Right.
I don't
right.
go out to eat. I don't go to movies. Right now, my son has a babysitter so I could see you.
Right.
And he just
it's like
came
it's
out
never
of a,
enough.
He just came out of a divorce. It's kind of important if I'm like around him.
Right.
You do see more of me
right.
than anybody.
Right.
I haven't seen my parents in 9 months.
I get that too. It's never enough. It's funny. I was talking to someone and they said, well, what's the big complaint? Like, why have you ended relationships? And typically it's it's never enough time, or I'm not giving as much as I can to a relationship. Yeah,
the best thing you can do in a relationship is date somebody that has passion for something and has a job.
Exactly. Well, this person didn't.
It's an amalgamation of just...
I get it. There's a lot of people, right.
Gals. If I single them out, then they're like, terrible. I'm back.
This is what I do.
I'm back in his life.
Right. You can't single out. So let's go back to the parlor. Okay, you were talking about parlor trick earlier, but then you were talking about mother... Because I heard you say something about, like, it's parlor trick. Like, everyone's got mother-father issues. These are the issues. Mother-father issues.
And how they.
No, you didn't say it here. It was on a podcast, but you were talking about parlor tricks.
Intuition. Like, psychics. There's no such thing as a psychic.
Right.
Like they're just present and they just catalog everything you say and they go, hey, watch out for the number four. Come see me if you start seeing fours. And then you see fours and you're like, oh my God, they were right. Like, no, they weren't right. There's like how many license plates have numbers
exactly.
on them?
Right. But what about what you do? Because you are intuitive.
I am. You are too. Real recognize real. It's
That's right, baby.
The best way to explain it is when you take kung fu for a long time and somebody throws a punch, there's no blocks in kung fu. You get out of the way because the only energy is that person's energy because you're empty. Like before I go on stage, I'm empty. I'm just nature abhors a vacuum. But before I go on stage, it's nothing. I don't know how else to explain it. So with the intuition, when somebody sits across from me and they're serious about, like nobody goes onto the car lot unless they want to buy a car. If somebody really wants to be quote unquote red, they will present they're like this is me. Like look at the front of our house. Mm-hmm. But don't go in these two bedrooms because we're hoarders, you know.
Right.
So the questions that sort of peel that away are it is either mother or father or all.
Yeah,
of
let's
us.
Talk
all,
about that though, because I believe that we are here. Rooms. I believe that we're here on the planet to work through our mother and father issues. So when everyone
that's impossible that a sentient being is on Earth to experience life to work backwards through the other sentient beings' damage.
Well but don't you? So you're run it's semantics. But what I'm saying is, don't you believe that it's our mother and father who shapes us, and these are the issues that we're constantly battling?
Absolutely,
and that it's not a. Like, I guess I try to let people see that it's like it's.
You started
not...
twirling your hair when you said mother and father. It's very interesting.
Oh, are we going to intuit what that means? It's just like I don't know.
I thought it was cute.
Oh, thanks.
I was reading it.
I was
like,
doing that for you. It was separate.
Does she twirl her hair often?
I take it for the
moment. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
So, the parlor trick thing is to get the walls down. Like, you are, Emily, you are underappreciated. You are. You know that you are. And whatever it is, that decision that's happening in your life, you are right. And you're never, it's not like the Senate floor where you're going to get people to come over to your side. You are right. You just have to be happy with the fact that you're right. It's like paying a parking ticket and you go, you could pay it online. And you're talking to people going, no, we're collecting all the nickels in the house and we're going to walk it downtown. You're right. So stop trying. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Those are the two bullshit things I would say to two people just to get the wall down because now you're leaning forward.
Right. I'm like, tell me what, because we're all narcissists too in a way.
But that's right for everybody.
Right. That is right for everybody.
So your psychic goes, you're at a fork in the road.
I know.
You had a horrible illness within the last 2 years.
Or someone in your life did. Okay, but what about the mother issues and the father issues that we're trying to work through?
I wouldn't say it's issues. I would just say it's conditioning. You know, the number one thing I know, no parlor tricks moving forward, I promise, okay?
Like, they're kind of fun, but I get it.
Trust me, trust you, you know, because it's, if we're going to go in the weeds here, we'll go together.
Let's do it. Yeah, I'm in with you. I'm in.
How tall are you?
Oh, you're going to ask that. 5'1".
Questions will get harder as we go along, I suppose. Second round.
I'm 5'2". I'm 5'1". I'm 5'2". And not, I'm like 5'1 and 3/4", but I'm so honest that I'm like 5'1", but that's actually more like 5'2".
All right.
Okay.
So as a little girl, this is everybody, little boys, little girls. As a little girl with cognitive thought, you were home. You accepted 5 foot as your value, just the way a parent is stern. Like, I'd come home, my mom would be slamming drawers. It had nothing to do with me, but it was just disturbing. Like, what's wrong? Nothing, nothing, nothing's wrong, nothing. So you're like, ooh, sorry. So you accept 5 foot at like maybe 5, 6 years old. Then 8, 9, 10. Whenever I say trauma, it's like, this is a glass with water in it. We're done. Like, I don't go into the carpet underneath or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Like, so around those ages, there's trauma. Like, and that could be a car accident. Somebody dies. Like, something that scared you. So somebody, the neighbor killed them.
Right.
And then it's the way you ask questions and people respond. Like now, like, wow, I'm 4'11" of value. Then you go to high school and you have a boyfriend that comes in at 4'10". You go, hey, that's almost all of me. This guy's great. No, then you don't even know you're settling. Now you're at 4'10". You started at 5'2". You're not even out of high school yet. So what I try to do before I begin a reading is get people to realize, like, you're 5'2". Like, you're 7 feet tall. Like, you take up the entire room and the space. Like, you really, you have gravity. You have tremendous gravity. And you're incredibly beautiful. And but we've accepted, all of us, myself, that we're just smaller and smaller and smaller. And then life just kicks you in the nuts. And you get your face pushed into yellow snow a few times. And you're like, wow, I'm 4'5". No, you're not.
So it's that process of constantly, I don't know, working on, because you're peeling back all these layers, and it's easier, I guess, to keep feeling like you're knocking yourself down. But don't you think it is making you stronger by peeling back these? I know what you're saying, but like your process.
I'm saying
right
you're
now,
not. Well, I'm saying what I do is the conditioning about the mother and the father. Like nobody has a kid to do worse than what they had. Nobody. It's impossible.
Hopefully,
it's
they
a,
try to
it's
improve
a,
upon.
It's a sin against the universe. It's impossible to have a kid and go, I'm not going to be as good as my parents. It's, there's that one thing you lacked, physical affection, attention, validation, that you go, when I have a kid, I'm going to, my thing was confusion. My sons will never be confused. They'll never have that confusion. The rules will never change. My son will never go, they know how to fight. Mm-hmm. My sons will never go to school when somebody goes, hey, so-and-so's looking for you, and have that fear all day. Of like, what the fuck did I do that this guy wants to fight me? I don't even know who. My sons will go, well, where is he?
Because you trained them. You taught them.
That's but I'm sure I'm certain I have created craters.
Of course. Well, that's what I'm saying. You always do. That's the thing about parenting. It's like, because I have so many friends with kids, most of them do. And they're like, you have those days where they're like, I'm a terrible parent. I'm going to mess up. But like, you do your best. And hopefully you do better than your parents did, right? You learn. You're like, I'm not going to be a parent like that. But there's always this sense of like, you feel like maybe you're not a good parent. Or just accepting the fact that you know there's going to be some ways you mess them up, if you will. But what I'm saying is, that's our challenge. Is like, I feel like the stuff I've worked through with my family is like a gift. Truly, because I wouldn't be who I am today had I not had all those struggles. Like, they are directly related to those struggles to where I am and how I sit today. And I'm still peeling back the layers of it. But
what about the joys? What about the joy and the love and the happiness?
Oh, I have a lot of that too.
We didn't mention those.
I know.
You only tie struggles to your parents.
Right. I have a lot of joys with my parents too. My mom's amazing, really supportive, really smart.
There's qualities about you that you don't address. Not you, the editorial you.
Yes.
Well, you know, like, oh, my parents did this. Not you. Again,
the
I need really,
because
I would never attack like that. And we never go like, hey, I know when I make a phone call to say, hi, it's John Moore calling. May I speak with? That's because I saw my dad do that all the time. That's how when you shake somebody's hand, you look them in the eye, you give them a nice shake. When you're in a fight, you hit first. You hit fucking hard. When you hug somebody, don't do anything else.
I love that. It's true. Just
that's
be
actually mine that I made up.
No.
But I had to add it on in the back. I was like,
no,
I ran out of one.
Tell
here's
you
one
something.
Of mine.
I heard, because I haven't listened to you. When you talk about giving that hug to someone, when you hug someone, to be present and to wait that moment of like have a real fucking moment where you're looking at each other's eyes and you're hugging and you're feeling it.
Or
I think
just
we're losing that.
We are. Oh, we've lost it.
Do you see that
entirely
with the kids? Like, I was thinking this outside. I was like, yes, I'm on social media. My Instagram is really important, all that. But it's like,
guys hit each other's backs.
Do you hug your friends? Are you a hugger?
I kiss my friends on the cheeks. Don't like old Italian guys in the neighborhood. Like, hey, doing, he's a friend of us.
Right? Yeah. Like, it feels like that's
my friend
what
Aaron
do
came over last night. We did the Lakers podcast that we do. Big hug. Kissed each other.
So yeah.
Big black moment, guy was it, played was basketball.
It, yeah. No, but she got, I think like just that's important of being still.
I love
being present.
I love that. Right. I am in love with my friend. I am currently in love with the man named Aaron. I'm currently in love with Corey Fry. I'm currently in love with Landon Lynn, who lives in Portland, Oregon. His brother Logan is like soulmate type stuff. It's not like I'm gay for these people.
No, but you've
Corey's
got to
be
confident in your.
Like, I'm. These are people like through everything. They've just. It's like there's a shitty neighborhood with a terrible storefront. The lights are off in the middle of the night. It says toys. The letter's missing. And for like 18 years, they've had one eye in this shitty, cloudy window. And they're like, I think way in the back, there's an awesome bike. And they just hung around until that neighborhood got its shit together. So that's who you love.
Right. That's true. Those are your friends. Those are your people.
I use too many analogies.
No, you don't. So in the last year, I want to ask you. No, you're good. You're good with the analogies. Sometimes I struggle with that. I'm like, what's that in the moment? I get anxious and I forget things in the moment sometimes. So I can't.
Why do you think you get anxious?
Oh, God. Who knows? I'm Jewish.
You mentioned, I do a joke in my act where I go, if you have a friend and you're not sure if they're Jewish or not, they're not. There's no ambiguity. And they will mention it often about things that make no sense when it comes to Judaism, daughter of Zion, son of... It's like, just, we went out on David's boat out in Pyramid Lake, and I sat in the front. I'm a Jew. Right. And you're like, wait a minute. Seating arrangements at sea.
I've been doing... Right.
Israel. I'm not... I don't have a chart for this in my head. This right. is weird.
No, I understand. We
Navy
do
blue.
Do
I'm Jewish.
Well, wait, what? No, it's true. We do that. But I feel like the Jewish neuroticism or the anxiety... First of all, I think everybody's got a lot of anxiety right now. I think it's coffee. Yes. I think we've always had it, but I think we have more coffee and more stimulants in our life.
I think coffee's been a constant. I don't disagree.
No, no, I'm not, because it's always
Stop
been a constant.
Stop fucking pointing at me right now.
So, I know, pointing is bad, but my... but the thing is that coffee... Our parents had like a cup of coffee, right? Like bad coffee at home, but now we're having huge coffees. I'm not saying that's the only thing. I've just been watching everyone walking around with their huge drinks for 20 years, and that's going to contribute to it.
I
but
think
for
it's
me,
the phones.
It's that I'm Jewish. The phones, the anxiety. On
it's
the
not
phone.
Because you're Jewish. That doesn't even make sense. Well, you don't have anxiety because you're Jewish. You heard that when you were out 4'9" and made you 4'8".
No,
eight.
It's
like,
actually
well, we're
living,
Jewish.
No,
that's how we
it's
are.
Been living
like,
in
no.
LA. For 5 years. Because in San Francisco, yes,
what
there
if
are
it's
Jews,
just how, what
but
if it's
more
just
assimilated.
You? What if you just have anxiety because you're a human being and it doesn't need a label? There's not a hook to
okay.
hang a coat on.
You said, why are you anxious? And
right.
I could say, okay, I could give you the real
because
answer.
Because I'm Jewish, because other people
I have
drink
a lot of things going
on.
I know. The coffee thing was
Let's
new.
Control time, not the other way around.
Oh, don't.
You just got a little louder, a little quick for me, because I can't keep up and I want to catalog this because you're important to me.
Wow.
You said... you have anxiety because other people drink coffee.
It was unrelated.
And because you're Jewish and living in LA, I'm like, that's...
I'll break it down for you. There
you
was
have
a lot
anxiety mm-hmm. because you're a person and every person has anxiety. My anxiety, which I don't feel ever, comes out of my rear end as diarrhea. That's how I know I have it.
Okay.
And I'm not a zombie.
And otherwise you don't feel it because...
It's never served me, and I've just jettisoned it somehow.
Right.
I think like being a wrestler first and then a comedian, I mean, it's just a monastic life. It's like, it's just you, and if you fail, you're fucking out. Like, if you bomb
right.
starting, you don't get invited back.
That's
and
true.
If you lose in a wrestling match, and then when you coach wrestling, it's like, are they listening to me? I better really act like I know what the hell I'm saying. Even though it's like my first coaching gig ever, you have to come up with like a whole thing and how to start a practice and how to keep everybody engaged, and they're millennials. So they're just like, what? That's what everybody says when you ask, how about this? No one, follow this today, as your listeners too, no one answers a question. The one in front of them, they just go left and they go right and practice this, go, that's cool, same question. Say those exact
just
words.
Just keep bringing it back to the question.
But every time it happens during the day, you'll see if you just keep the same mantra, that's cool, same question, same spacing and timing, that's cool, same question.
Do you get your answer then?
Maybe, maybe not, but it's fast. Do you guys sell Esquire magazine? If we do, it would be yeah, magazine. Yeah, that's cool. Same question. I'm at the fucking magazine rack,
right.
Obviously.
Right, I'm looking. I'm here. I know. Tell
like,
me if
where
you
did
have
you
it.
Grow up? Well, when I was this, when I was that, and this, you know, okay, that's cool. Same question. Nobody answers a question anymore.
Do you think that they answer it to... I'm answering your question with a question. Because,
that's fine.
But why do you think that is? We're not focused, or we don't want to, or we want to tell too much backstory. So when you asked me why I have anxiety, I could have just been like,
I don't know.
I've got a lot of stress in my mind. You know, there's a lot.
I don't know why I have anxiety.
I've always had it.
The answer is you don't know. You don't know.
No. All I know is that.
And I don't know. I can teach you this truly. I don't know is the best answer if you don't know. I tell my kids that. If you don't know, then we can get started.
Right.
We're talking about coffee. Mm-hmm. We're talking about our parents' coffee. They're not here. You know what I mean? If you don't know, you don't know. Like you don't. I don't know why I have anxiety. You don't know. But life, period. It's too big. It's too macro a question. Why you have anxiety?
Yeah, but I think I can remember when I first had it. I can remember when it started. I can remember when it didn't exist. And I can remember times in my life when it didn't, when it wasn't as, I guess, chronic, maybe. So
you said did not exist.
It did not exist. Okay. It's like the low buzz, I guess. It's always there.
No, I got you. I repeat it for me, not to like correct you.
Do you know when it often doesn't exist? And I think you might be able to, I was listening to something that, I think it was one of you were talking about stand-up. It's that the reason why I love doing this, and I'm not saying I don't have immense anxiety before I come in here, especially you coming on. I want this to be a good interview. I worry. And then after, I'd be like, I hope that was good. But in the moment with you and doing a show, I'm super present, and there's no anxiety in me right now.
Yeah. There's been two anxieties since we've had this conversation.
The coffee part?
Twirling your hair. And when I said, let's control time, not the other way around.
Yeah, I just felt like, oh, no, it's my time. You know what that triggered in me is because I'm not great with time management.
Oh, I have dry erase boards all over my house that say time management.
They do?
I'm the worst. Like
Worst. Like I need someone just to sit with me and like they do this in my office.
I don't go
the
to
team
bed.
Is like 15 minutes left. You have 12 more minutes to finish this.
We can help each other. We're both so thirsty right now.
Are you thirsty, thirsty, or thirsty for help?
Right?
So thirsty.
Because I'm thirsty. I'm like... I'm thirsty because she's
thirsty. Do you want some blowjob spray?
Whoa, hey, wait a minute.
Hey, you're into pegging.
Sure. I don't know if you can put spray and blowjob close enough together. It's like, anxiety when you did not have it.
I think that there's...
When you had a daddy. No.
No, I know. The daddy... we didn't even get to the daddy thing. That is when a lot of it... I mean, my dad did die
suddenly. Oh, no, I didn't mean your father.
Oh.
You know.
Oh, sorry. Daddy what?
No, I was... Doing about, because we were talking off mic
about to the mother,
daddy issues.
Yeah.
Mother?
And the daddy sex thing.
Well, what's the mother stuff? Well, a lot of guys have mother stuff.
Yeah. Guys have mother stuff.
I mean, sexually they have mother stuff.
Yeah.
That's fine for them.
If they have mother stuff.
Yeah. I mean, what are you going
to do? What about the daddy stuff with sex? You're saying you're into that. Like girls getting daddy, calling you daddy?
I was with a girl and she said, fuck me daddy.
Mm-hmm.
And I, wow, that a whistle went off in me that I didn't know existed.
Oh, good whistle, like a whistle, not like an alarm bell, but like. Oh,
that came later, and I'll explain that briefly.
Right.
Like at the carnival where you take the giant mallet and you hit the thing, and it shoots up, and you got to hit the bell, and there's that like weakling, strong guy, but if some guy goes bang and he goes all the way up and hits the bell, you know, it shot through that,
right?
And then I shot through,
right. You're like,
and
oh,
nothing really
new.
Had worked on me for a very long time.
Oh.
And when it was over, the most Hollywood sentence on earth, I called Dr. Drew and I said, I'm a little freaked out because this girl said this and I came like the fucking cannons at an AC/DC concert for those about to rock. We salute you! Fire! And he says, well, are you attracted to children? I woke him up. No. And he goes, so then what's the problem? I go, well, I don't know if you heard what I just said prior to you asking me that question. It turned me on. And he goes, oh, okay, yeah. It's value. Daddy is value. And he's very, he's a dear friend. Mm-hmm. And I told him every step of the way when I was going under.
I'm
and
so
he
glad.
Said, coming from where you came from, when do we eat when daddy gets home? Who has the answers? Daddy. Why am I entirely safe? Daddy. Mm-hmm. So it's value.
And women want
to feel. So I felt 6 feet tall mm-hmm. for the first time in a very long time.
Right.
And that made me feel manly.
Mm-hmm.
And then you want to care for that. Like right. I get to care for someone, not be a nuisance or like an annoying toddler around somebody at all the time.
Right.
And that happens in a lot of relationships, the toddler and the nuisance. We don't know. And I do say this on stage. I'm not trying out bits on you, but.
No, I don't care. Tell me.
We don't know when we go from the man of your dreams to just a toddler that bugs you. It's about a year and a half. Because when we ask you to marry us, before the other half of the box comes out, you're like, oh my God, yes! You cry in the restaurant. You didn't even give a shit to people. Right. Your mascara is running like, oh my God! And then 2 years later, why are you in the bathroom so long? It's like, I don't know how to wipe my ass right. I don't know what to say. I don't know.
Right.
Who'd you talk to when you walked the dogs? I talked to Ron. He goes, how do you know him? Like, well, I don't know.
Right. But these things I think you could know before you get married. I believe that if you're really vulnerable in a relationship and open, like they would know you're walking the dog and you'd be with someone who was like, that's cool, you made friends in the neighborhood. And they weren't, I'm not saying you don't find stuff out after you get married, because that's when you do your best work.
From stand-up, it seems to be a universal thing where it's like the man of your dreams becomes... You see a guy introduce his wife at a party. He's like, this is Emily. I told you about Emily. And they're all like, yes, you did. All right, great. Wow, you're right, man. Beautiful. You see a lady introduce her husband at the party. Like, so then we were going to... at the carpool lane, we wanted to be... this is Jeff. It's cheese, Jeff. Okay? It's cheese. It's just cheese. No, but it's cheese. So anyway.
So how do you in relationships then, do you know people, how many friends do you have that are in happy marriages, happy relationships? Like truly, like, of course you hate them half the time, maybe your partner, or maybe a little less than half, because.
I've never hated my partner.
Not you hate. Okay, so I'm sure you have friends with struggles, but the healthy, how many people do you know in healthy relationships that you'd be
70%, 30%?
Really?
The ones that are in them.
70% are happy, the ones that are in them, of your friends.
Yeah.
Truly.
I mean, like attracts like. Like if you're a cheater, you hang out with cheaters because you want to do cheating things. If you don't cheat, you hang around guys that find it abhorrent and like, ugh.
But do you think there's...
But no, okay. You avoid... I did all my daddy stuff and you so totally skipped that you had daddy issues. Don't leave me on that island.
Yeah, no. I think my daddy issues are related to, well, my dad dying. I was 19.
There goes that
I was
erection. 49. Jesus.
I know, not hot. But what I was telling you is that I've actually been with guys who are into the daddy thing in recent years. And I'm like, oh, that's hot. And I can get turned on by it because I love feeling like the little girl and being taken care of and safe. And it's just hot to have someone dominate you.
Keyword.
But I don't relate little. It. Little. I'm little.
Little
I'm
girl. No. Oh. Little. To be little and to be held and where your arms safe. Go all the way around yeah. somebody to the other side.
Yeah.
We guys want that.
I know. We all just want to be hugged.
If I was in prison and a guy was fucking me and I eventually went, fuck me, daddy, I guarantee you I would come harder than I ever came in my right. life. I'm not taking it off the table for me. Do you know what I mean? It's that sake. It's that being that little
right.
baby bunny in the palm of a hand. Yeah. That's what it is.
I
like,
know. And
you
it's
do
fine, and that's healthy. I love that you called Drew, and he was like, "That's cool." He's like, "Wait, are you a pedophile?" No, cool. Yeah, go with it.
Yeah,
yeah, it's true.
And
it's
you have to be brave to do it too. Like, it's like you want to take care of somebody that can like be that brave. You know, you don't want to weed it out of him. You know, like, don't forget, I really like when you say this. Then it's like, ugh.
Yeah, but sometimes, yeah, that's true. But sometimes you got to tell your partner what you like because it sounds like you had great sex, but in your relationship prior. But I think sometimes you do have to be like, oh, I'm kind of into this thing. Is that cool? And then you find out if it is.
Well, I never did. What's interesting is in the marriage, I never had that at all. It was because of how low I got, how I felt about myself, and I've never been like a self-loathing guy, self-pity guy. And I realized, like, oh, I collect resentments like stickers on a cartoon suitcase. Like, it's my whole identity.
Is just resenting people and being kind of angry.
Because you can't take it out on the person you're trying to save. You're trying to keep somebody above water, or keep the two people above water.
Right. So you would say that's what happened in your marriage, that the resentments were building. Or you collect them in your life with others and
in life, I do. And then, like, it's, can you believe that shit happened to me? And then you, it's like being a second term president. Like, Nixon was bananas because he didn't realize, like, it's your second term, dude. Relax.
Right.
You're spying on people. You can't run again.
But, right.
You know,
but do you believe
sore winner.
In relationships, when you have these unresolved, like, resentments, it can be really hard to get, I can't be like, go out and, like, buy some sexy lingerie. Like, if you've built this stuff up over time and you guys haven't dealt on with your issues, it's really hard to kind of get back to the sex, to the sexy.
It is. The best way I can explain it without being disrespectful to somebody who's not here is a photograph and somebody's fading from the photograph. And you go, you're fading from this. Like, no, I'm right there in the way. Hold on a minute. And you go, no, now you're actually fading from this photograph. Like, this, we should move it out of this part of the room because there's too much light on it. You're kind of fading from the photograph. I kind of need you in this photograph.
Right.
And what I said to Neil and Gabby was, it's like you go in the Empire State Building and you hit every single floor in the elevator. And the second floor, ping, you get out and you go, can we talk about what happened in the lobby? That was kind of like, no, I'm totally okay with what happened. Like, everyone's like, are you getting back in? Because the doors are going to close. So you get back in. Fifth floor, can we have, let's talk about what happened on the fourth, the third, the second in the lobby. And you get to the 80th, et cetera. Then you go, by the way, when I get to the top, I have to jump off. This is where this is going. And I'm trying to alert you that this is... You're never coming out of the elevator to talk to me. And this elevator goes to the top where I leap off the building.
Right.
Let's talk about the 111th, 110th, 109th. And then you get to the top and you jump off the Empire State Building. And the moment before you hit the concrete, you hear, let's go to therapy.
It's so true. That's when she's
and
ready.
You're like,
right.
People
like,
love me when people love me when I'm leaving.
Right.
When I'm leaving, it's like, what? Where's Elvis? What the fuck? Right. What do you mean he's not in the building? What happened?
Because that's almost what people need. They need the extreme of like leaving, something bad's going to happen. And they're like, oh no, I've changed. I'm better. But you gave, it sounds like you gave a lot of
I gave
time
more,
and resources
I tapped
and
the
opportunities.
Well, there's a well beneath the well that many people don't know they have. And that's what I discovered. And there's a well beneath that well.
What do you think you learned? So we started out saying, I started saying that I was impressed that you're like every stone unturned, like you did it all. Like, what would you say now? And I know it's so painful.
I feel I
what
did
would
it
you
all.
Well, that's know, all that no one else can tell you.
Like, you know, a guy watches the sun go down in California. A guy watches the sun come up in Japan. There's a guy in the moon looking at Earth. He didn't see any sun. And all three guys are right. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
So I don't want to say like,
but
I
that's
did
all we go up. But right. You know, but here's the thing. We all know when we did everything.
I did
we
everything I could. I did more than I ever knew I had in me.
Right.
I did. I had an extra lifetime or two of effort that I never knew existed.
Right. See, that's amazing. And then you can actually leave going, well, maybe I could have, should have, because this is what I even tell my friends. I'm like, have you guys done therapy?
Nothing I could have done. The only thing I could have done is throw somebody over my shoulder and go into a psychiatrist's office or a therapist's office.
Right, and you don't want to do that. It's like addiction. No. Unless you admit there's a problem or you're powerless, you're not going to get help. So
what I learned from it all was, it's kind of like a worst case scenario. I tell wrestlers this, like, the worst thing you do is show me how good you are, because then I'm going to expect it. Like, in the Army, you don't want to be the guy that's great at cleaning toilets, because they're like, Michael, you know what your job is. Clean everybody else's dukes. So, like, I know my vigilance. I know my relentlessness, and that's always been a negative with me. Like, I'm like a dog with a chew toy at times, that insatiability.
Right, I get it.
And then I actually saw it in gentility and speaking a different way and choosing words super carefully to not hurt someone's feelings. And that's something you can never regret. People say, I regret, I wasted 10 years of my life. I'm like, no, you got to love somebody every day. They loved you. There was nights you went out and you went, I look good. And she did that for you.
I don't believe that marriages, people should regret or look at it as like a huge failure. Because if you were in it, you did it. You got married. You had a relationship. It worked till it didn't work. So
the love you felt was real.
That was
real. It doesn't, like, did you break a bone as a when you were little?
Did
you ever get stitches?
No.
Tooth pulled?
No.
Lark, did you ever break a bone as a kid?
I know. I wish I could.
How old are you?
7.
Did you have a cast?
No, I had one of those, you know, intrusive things.
Yeah. 7 years old. And look, she knows it exactly.
Right.
That's still on the scoreboard. Pain.
Right.
So you can't take love off the scoreboard if you're going to leave broken bones on the scoreboard. It's not, it's incongruous. You can't.
Right.
You know.
No, I get it. You can't. Right.
Did you have the daddy thing going in and guys tapped the well and you went, oh, wow, now this is where I get to be taken care of, feel tiny and feel real. Does it make you feel sad? I mean, does it make
going
you
going into a relationship? Not like the daddy, like call me daddy. You just mean in relationships in general? The dynamic? Is that what you're talking about?
No, the daddy thing specifically. By the way, to the listeners, we were talking about this off mic.
Right, when you're like, hey,
and
daddy.
We're going to like lead with it.
Yeah, we're leading with it. So we
and I only mean, I don't want somebody like fucking Ralph's to call me daddy.
No. It's a second. I get
specific,
it. No, we're talking
like,
about in bed,
like
it's hot.
Like,
exactly. Yeah. Oh, pre, usually penetration.
If I get the person that's pre, I'll buy another ring.
Right. But
come to bed, daddy.
Not pre, like in the grocery store, but yeah.
Right.
Did
you always have that and it lay dormant and you didn't know it till somebody questioned, wanted?
I didn't have, no, I don't know. Here's the thing. I'm very open sexually. So I feel like to me it's energy. So when you're with someone, I know what I like and what I'm into, but I feel like every time you're with a new partner, it's like a new chance to figure out how the two of you, how your energy comes together to create whatever sex you're going to have. So I don't really go in with like, I must have this, I must have that. Certain things like oral sex, I need to be paid attention to. I need to feel good. I want my orgasm, all that stuff. But as far as every time I need to wear this, do this, sit in this way, it's not like that
that's
with sex.
Rote. Yeah, that's how get, go get
yeah.
a dog.
So
teach
sex is like art, right? So every time you're with someone or dancing, it's
but
like
I
a
know,
new
like,
rhythm.
Exactly. Like Alan Watts, the British philosopher said, you don't dance to get that certain spot on the floor. You dance to dance.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you don't. Sex. You listen to. You play a piano. You nobody works a piano because life should be more like music. He says. Otherwise, the greatest composers would just write the last chord over and over. You'd go to a symphony and be like, "Dun." It's the whole thing. But I think you misunderstood the question. Like I discovered very suddenly that that was something that really turned me on. And you said you've had boyfriends where I turned them on, but I wanted to know if it's something that lay dormant in you that actually turns you on.
Oh, that I didn't talk about and that I was so glad that someone did it. I don't know if it was dormant. It felt good. It felt with this partner, I was like, oh yeah, I'll do it. But in the past, I had in my brain, I had thought, if a guy said daddy, I was like, I'm not into it. But with this guy, it's like, it's hot. It just worked.
And you have to, there's so much trust. You have to feel daddy. Like you have to, I don't know how else to explain it.
Like safe and trust. And that's why.
You have to feel tiny and safe in that person's arms. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's awesome. So it wasn't like it was a dormant, no. But
I don't love vitamins, but I take them.
Right.
Like, so you don't want it to be like that. Like, all right.
Oh, I would never. See, I think back in the day when I was, before I started the show, because I started the show because I was like, I think sex could be way better according to everybody else. And my sex is like mediocre.
This is when you started this podcast?
Yeah. I was like, I gotta find out. I wasn't
you
like
you started this podcast to have better sex and it worked.
Totally.
Erections with Jay Moore.
Yeah, exactly, dude. You can do it. No, I started because I was like, well, I never wanted to be like normal. And now we named
there's nothing normal. There's nothing normal about you. There's
that's
nothing.
True.
There's nothing ordinary about any of us. And you're.
I know.
You're the lead sled dog here.
It's true.
Nobody pulls the lead sled dog out of the line and goes, "You're doing really great."
Right. Right.
Because they just assume you know it.
Yeah.
But you said you have anxiety on the way here and on the way out.
Yeah, I might be like, should I have asked him this? Was it good? Did you guys like it? Like, I'll do that.
It's a best case scenario. You get to come here and you get to do whatever you want.
No, it is true.
Like, when you get to audition with like Al Pacino, people go, you must have shit your pants. I'm like, no, it's fucking Al Pacino. I get to act. I was with some like casting director in the Valley for 2 weeks. Now there's an actual guy playing the guy. So I get to do it for real.
Right.
But apparently that's not normal.
What happened was I thought, okay, well, everyone wants to get married, have kids. That was never like my drive. It was always like my mission, my purpose was to do something that felt really good to me and that would change the world. It felt like it had to be this bigger thing. I had set up a lot of things that I wanted to accomplish that trumped anything around marriage. I can't even use the word trumped anymore. It's funny. Around marriage and kids. But I thought, and also, so there was the marriage family thing. Like, what's wrong with me that I don't want that? Maybe if I interview a lot of people who are in relationships, out of relationships, maybe it'll make sense to me. Maybe I could kind of tweak what's in my brain. This was initially starting. And then also when people were like, I had amazing sex last night. It was the best sex in my life. I was like, I've had good sex. You know, I don't think I've had like I've had what I think is great. I think it could be so much better. Because I'm
still?
No, but that then I thought that. But still,
You don't think now there, it's almost like I couldn't see because I didn't see.
Right.
And then I saw. And then once I saw, I didn't see what I couldn't see.
Right. I think you don't know what you don't know. Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And I feel like now it's way better. I know the basics, right? Like I know the basics.
First base, kiss.
No, literally, but I know my body.
Hand over blouse, second base, stand up double.
I was also like, I didn't know how to ask for what I wanted. I didn't know even what felt good to me. It was like.
I found grabbing him by the face and saying it angrily gets a really great response.
Saying what angrily?
Fuck me, goddammit. You fuck, like just grab the guy. Like, that's what I do to guys when I go to the YMCA. Not sponsored.
Not sponsored YMCA. What about your podcast? Tell me. Let's talk about your podcast. More stories.
It's got its own app. Podcast One app as well. And I'm very proud of it.
Yeah, it's really. You've been doing it for a while. It's great.
And thank you. Yes. And the ones that get that, you know, you fight so hard to get like the biggest guests on earth. And then like I'm in my truck wearing earbuds and I just talk about what I'm going through. And those are the ones with like double the listenership.
People just want to hear you.
Because it's like, hey, man, I got to be transparent. I got to be true.
Well, that's what I love about. Yeah.
Full.
Are you just in the moment you go and you're like, here's what happened today and here's what's going
without
on.
Without airing somebody out, but like going back to AA and like, I mean, I was in a mental hospital. I was going to ask for a bed and I thought, I got the improv tomorrow. I can't let Rita down. Fuck. So then I left. I was visiting somebody else after an intervention. And then I had the improv the next night. Then Sunday morning, I had a great meeting. And then Monday morning, there was like a weird like 7 a.m. wrestling practice. So the combo of those three things was like clear, oof. And it just brought me back to life.
Wow.
But I was ready to lay down. I was ready to just lay down and go like, somebody monitored me. I'm going insane.
That was a year ago?
Yeah. No, that's within the last year. Like being sober, working steps, having a sponsor. It's just... it's a crazy world out there. And when you keep being accountable, because my program is about transparency and accountability, all accountability all the time, high road, high road, high road, it's exhausting.
It is exhausting.
It's like, I want to dig a tunnel. Fuck high road. I would love to have you on more stories. I'm going to Florida for 2 weeks.
I would love
when
to be
people
on
are
more
listening
stories.
To this on this Friday, because you subscribe to it and you rate and you review it, because it's great. It's Sex with Emily. And I'm right now about to go on stage in front of drunks.
Right now?
In Tampa, when they hear this on Friday.
Oh, good. Okay, in Tampa. Where else are you going
to
be?
Time travel.
So everyone can listen to your podcast. More stories, M-O-H-R stories. It's all on Podcast One. And you're at jmoore37.
That is correct.
Facebook More Stories. jmoore.com. This will all be on our website.
My website's a great website, by the way. I'm really like...
It is a great website.
A lot
website.
Of content. I'm at the Hollywood Improv on Melrose, May 5th and May 26th. Cinco de Mayo on May 26th. May 26th. Saturday, 8 o'clock. No opening act. And just me for 90 minutes.
I might just have to come by then.
No, you're going.
I'm in.
Bring a date or four.
Yeah, we'll see what I can do.
I love you. This is great.
I know. This is really
Everyone
fun.
Everyone here
Thank
is wonderful.
You. I know, right? Good energy. Good
How
peeps.
How long can you read Pinterest, Shannon? What are you doing? There are quotes with pictures of lions on them.
Thank you, Jay Moore.
Thank you, everybody.